B-Pod Studios.
O'clock hour of the Mike Missanelli show. Got my lock of the week coming up. My lock of the week is they're playing already. Damn. It's halftime. UC Irvine and Kansas State are tied. That was my lock of the week.
Well, there that goes.
Presented by McCaws and Lock Services. 50% off car keys and remotes online at 4carkeys.com. The 3 o'clock hour is brought to us by Corps Police Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays, every bit as good. Villanova wins last night, hard fought victory. We'll see if they can continue to move on. Games going on right now. You've got Iowa with a stunning victory. They were behind in that game to Cincinnati. They come back and win. Texting, does that blow your bracket?
I mean, a little bit. It's all messed up. My goal is to get my Final Four through Sunday, and I'm holding on to that.
Texas Tech up over Northern Kentucky, 49-38 now. Let's see what else is going on. Oklahoma smashed Ole Miss.
That's a shocker.
Yeah, and Tennessee is a quick leader over Colgate. Tonight, this afternoon, Gardner-Webb versus Virginia. That's not fair. That's two against one. It's Gardner and Webb.
I think Virginia. I think they'll be all right.
You hate Virginia. Give me Virginia. I'll give you Gardner-Webb plus 15.
No, Virginia's going to win by more than that.
Why? How do you know that?
Because of what happened.
You don't like Virginia. They slow pace. Yeah, Gardner-Webb could give them a shot.
No, they couldn't.
Give me 15 points.
No, I bet you the lines. You're jipping me when you do that.
17.
You're jipping me, I think. I got to look at the real.
Last offer, 18 and a half.
No, I got to look at the real
points spread. I'm giving you 18 and a half.
Let's see what the real sports spread is. Hold on. I got my phone out.
Forget the real sports spread. I don't even know what the spread is. I'm giving you, out of the goodness of my heart, 18 and a half.
The line's 22 and a half. Why would I take 18? It's 22 and a half.
Damn.
You give me the 22 and a half, and you might get a bet.
Damn. All right, Bruce in Wilmington. Bruce, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bruce.
Yes, good afternoon, Bruce.
How you doing?
You know, I can understand the fans mourning over the departure of coaches Martell and Dunphy. I mean, these guys have been icons in the city for decades. And yet, in particular, Martell, I mean, hasn't he been a failed coach since his appearance in 2004, his great season?
No, he hasn't been a failed coach. He's got a winning record there.
He might have a winning record, but he's only made the three seasons three or four times to the tournament and never got out of the second round.
Wow, I mean, what do you expect St. Joe is? A basketball factory?
Well, no.
What are the high expectations you can expect for St. Joe, a school with very few facilities that attract high profile recruits? What do you expect
I don't know how well did he do it in 2004 when he recruited two.
He got lucky in that he got two players. He was on Jameer Nelson when he was in ninth grade, and he got Jameer Nelson, and he got Delonte West, and so but those kind of years don't happen a lot at St. Joe. That just happened to be one of those years where the recruiting matched the talent.
Right. Well, I suppose that's understandable. Mm-hmm. But, the last three seasons have been losing record.
Yeah, his name's Martelli, by the way.
Martelli.
He's got an I at the end.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Can't take the I off. Come on, man.
And, the other thing
that
you
right.
were saying, well, this is the
444 and 328. That's a pretty good record, isn't it?
Well, I think overall, for the last 15 years, he's had a pretty good record, but how far has he gone in the playoffs, for example? Losing seasons in a row is kind of hard to take.
Yeah, it is. If you're an alum, you're probably disgruntled, but you might be misguided into thinking that they could be better than they really are because it's really tough to get good players there.
Well, what do you think about people that are saying that the Big Five is dead now? I mean, haven't they been dead and buried since Al Meltzer retired?
The Big Five is not dead because the games are still very competitive. Now, there's a disparity between Villanova and everybody else right now, but Villanova didn't win it this year, did they?
And
they had the best team in the city. They didn't win it, so that tells you it's still competitive.
Right. No, I agree. But, you know, I hearken back to, I moved in the area in 1970. And by gosh and by golly, I mean, the teams that played then. I mean, when was the last time you heard about LaSalle? I mean, good Lord, they had Ken Durrett there, one of the...
Well, oh, you heard about LaSalle in the 90s when they had Lionel Simmons and Randy Woods. That team went to, that team won a couple games in the NCAA tournament.
They had a team after that that had like the five guards. That made a little run.
Yeah, they made a run almost. They went to almost to the regional final.
Yeah, that was that. See, that's
the Philly special, or whatever that was called. The Philly, what was that called? The kid made the loopy shot.
I forget the name of that group, but I really like that team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the weird part in my mind, and I could be completely mm-hmm. wrong. It felt like LaSalle's had success in the tournament more recently than St. Joe's. Although St. Joe's that one year, they lost to Kentucky by like 1 point. Then they are in overtime or something mm-hmm. when Kentucky had like that undefeated team. Joe's really fought hard with them. But I had like forgotten about that and went back to that LaSalle moment for some reason.
I'm sure LaSalle was really a viable team. Because I covered that year and they beat, who did they beat?
It was the Southwest Philly Floater. By the way,
that's what's Philly Floater. But before that, when they had Lionel Simmons, they went to the tournament three straight years. 87, 88, and Legler, I guess, was on that team. 88, 89, then 89, 89, 90, which I think was their best year. Yeah, they were 30-2 that year with Randy Woods and Lionel Simmons and whoever else they had. Bobby Johnson, guys like that. Let's go to Mark in Center City. Mark, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mark.
Hey, Mike. What's going on?
What's going on, Mark?
Not much. I am a St. Joe's alumni. And to be honest, it was time for him to move on. I mean, you know, they can only give someone so much time. I mean, for a school not to have a football program, we don't have the revenue that a lot of the other schools have. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, there's Gonzaga's of the world. It's like... We really have to capitalize on, you know, we don't recruit nationally, generally speaking. I mean, we get 3-star guys from like Virginia, states like that, but we don't really have a far reach when it comes to attracting top tier talent. So it's time to move on. I mean, we need somebody younger, kind of maybe a little bit better.
Hey, you know, it all depends on what your mission is and what the board's mission is and what the president's mission is, the athletic director and the alums. If they believe that they should be winning and getting into the NCAA tournament, then there's going to be pressure on the head coach to do that. Now, if you want a respectable program, and the head of it is a great man and a good coach and does a lot of things in the community, and if that represents your school enough, then that's fine too. But there are always alums that want to win.
I'm one of them. I want to win. I mean, to be honest, I mean, like, I don't think what we've been doing is good enough. I mean, to have Villanova get the top talent at affiliate every single year. Mm-hmm. Like
Well, how's Villanova do it? They're a high profile program.
I know.
It's easy to see why they get them. They've won national champions.
That's what I'm saying. But St. Joe's is not okay. When we won the champion, or when we went undefeated in 04, that was my freshman year.
Uh-huh.
We did not capitalize on that. They should be elevating their profile from that season alone, and they didn't do it. You know, like, they did not take it to the next level and capitalize on that success. So
I hear that, but then I go, okay, well, what's capitalizing? Their star players are graduating that year, right? They're both gone. Delonte West and or was he back another year? I don't know. They might have both been seniors. The success of those smaller Big Five schools have come because they were fortunate enough to get recruits who were under the radar recruits who turned into stars. Like Lionel Simmons was an under the radar recruit because nobody knew what he was. He was a 6'6", 6'7" guy who was kind of a power player. They didn't know if he was a shooter. And all of a sudden he turned into a great player. Here was their starting five that year. Lionel Simmons, Doug Overton.
Of a pro.
Randy Woods.
Pro.
Bobby Johnson. Jack Hurd. And then they had a kid, the center, named Milko Leverst, who played a lot of minutes. 6'9", kid from Finland. So they were pretty good.
No, they were really good. That's the tough part, though. How do you find, is it possible that a coach can come in and or assistant, you're recruiting, you set up a recruiting apparatus mm-hmm. that's good at finding the under the radar kids that are too small or too this or too that to get for Nova not to go after them, and you can grab them. There has to be a way, and there also has to be a style. I was thinking about that.
You have to get a second level urban recruit. That's what you have to do. Like, you have to go to a high-profile program where the starting five is being recruited
right.
by major colleges, but your sixth and seventh and eighth man who could probably play at other schools and be stars, you grab that guy.
Right, and I think there should be a skill at that. Also, I think there's a style, because I was watching that Wofford game, and that coach there mm-hmm. has a style. So he can go and grab a kid, and he goes, okay, you don't have to do A, B, C, and D, but if you can do this, you can fit this style, and I'm going to recruit this style, and he's had success. They're probably, whoever takes these jobs now, probably has to come up with a style, and they mm-hmm. say, okay, these aren't perfect players, but if they can do what I ask them to do, we can win. And that's something that I don't know if any of those city schools really do, where we're going to play like X and Y. Like back when Arkansas used to do, we're going to full court press the whole game. So I have to grab guys who can defend the whole game and never get tired, blah, 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 blah. Like a specific mm-hmm. imprint and say, okay, maybe he's not a shooter. Maybe he's this, that, and the other, but I can get him to do this.
Right.
You probably have to do something like that going forward.
All right, let's go to, I will say Temple's at a higher level than a St. Joe or LaSalle. They have an arena. They have facilities. They're an urban campus where, you know, a lot of kids would like to play. It's the Philadelphia environment, that whole bit. So they should be getting better players. Steele is calling from Berlin. What? Berlin, Germany?
Guten Nachmittag.
What are you doing in Germany, man?
First of all, ich lebe dich. I'm in Germany with my two daughters that are studying linguistics. Mm-hmm. Can you possibly lend me a dollar? It's costing me a lot of cash.
I have no idea what you're even talking about.
I'm in Berlin, Germany. Yeah. I've been to friggin' Portugal. My daughters are studying linguistics. Anyhow, yeah, I was just thinking maybe your White Marsh membership. Maybe you give that up and lend me a dime.
Yeah, I'll lend you a dime.
That's nice, Mike.
All right.
That's nice. Listen, I've been out of the loop. Talk to me about Philly sports. Let's talk sports.
Mm-hmm.
All right. On a scale of this week, give me your highest and lowest remarks.
Huh?
Did you hear me?
My highest and lowest remarks.
Yeah, I mean, what was it like winning against the Bucks, the Celtics, Martelli, Villanova win? What do you think?
Beating the Celtics was the high point of this week. There's no question. Bryce Harper hitting two home runs was the second best moment for me this week.
Were you at the game? Were you at the Fargo?
I was at the game on Wednesday, yes.
That had to be electric.
It was fantastic.
Yes. Well, can you give me, I'm 8 hours ahead of you. Can you give me 5 hours? Can you give me a little bit of an insight how that was?
Well, it's like any other exciting 76er game. People are on top of the floor when they rally. They were tentative for most of the game because they were behind, and there were some groans in there. But all of a sudden, Jimmy Butler goes on fire, and it lit the whole building up. I thought that the roof was going to blow off.
Very, 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 very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, it was really nice.
Yes, I'm looking forward to the start of the baseball season. I'll be back in the States in a couple days, but always a pleasure.
All right, brother, you got it. Steele can be odd at times, you know?
That was a peculiar call.
He wanted you to update him on what's going on here.
Well, he has the internet.
He's been following along. All right, I just looked at that LaSalle team. They beat Southern Mississippi in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Led by whom?
I don't know.
Oh, yes, you do. He was a Sixer draft pick.
That's no way I remember.
Southern Miss.
I don't remember.
Ooh, Clarence Weatherspoon.
Ugh.
Spoon was on that team. They beat Spoon.
I never liked Spoon.
And they lost to Clemson in the second round.
Yeah, see, that
in
was
a game they should have won. Yeah, they lost 79-75.
I remember that game, and I remember a lot of people were mad at the coach after that.
They were, really?
Mad at Speedy.
I remember a kid named Tyson hit a corner jumper. That was the big shot in that game.
Yeah, the people were saying the Elite Eight minimum that year. People were saying.
I believe that was the same tournament I covered where they inbounded to Leitner. Leitner was the inbounder, and he inbounds the ball, and then he got it back, and he made a runner.
Oh, yeah, that's a different year.
I think that was the same tournament.
Oh, wow.
It was at the Meadowlands, I believe. Bodine and Yardley are on 97.5 Fanatic.
Hey, Michael, how you doing?
What's up, Bodine?
Not bad. Hey, Tyrone, you can put the sausage in the syrup. That's not a violation.
I like a sausage in the syrup. I like my sausage commingled with my pancakes with the butter and the sausage.
I'm in the same boat, you know? A violation was that guy that just asked you for a dollar. What a weirdo.
Yeah, this steel, you never know where he's coming from sometimes.
Yeah. So, hi, Natalie. How are you?
She's doing great. She's peachy.
Gotcha. I have the same skin as her, so I'd watch you guys on TV when I work. I got the Irish skin. Brutal.
Put the sunscreen on.
Yeah, I know. Around. I play golf. And here's my point.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day when I played ball back in high school, you know, I went to Upper Darby to play Ridley, and they were always better than us, but we were tougher than them. And then once we got tougher than them, we'd be able to beat them.
Ridley's pretty tough, though.
Yeah, they were tough, man. We were tougher. We had them, and then we started beating them. Yeah, so here's the point. You know, like a month ago, when that guy on the Celtics came down and dunked the ball right over Embiid, and it was like, oh, and they took the heart out of him. You know, the twist was Marcus Smart, by pushing Embiid in the back, you know, I think it really made them to get a little bit tougher, because I think their biggest weakness on the Sixers is not Brett Brown or anything like that. It's their toughness.
Mm-hmm.
And they were losing that game by, what, 18 points? And they did that, you know, assault on them. And then all of a sudden, they came back and they got attitude.
Uh-huh.
And attitude equals leadership. You know, remember the Titans.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's the biggest thing for the Sixers, is once they get the attitude now, and then they also conquered the leadership. You know, one of the players on the Sixers said it. You know, Jimmy Butler now is our leader. He's got the most experience. He's the oldest to take it over at the end of the game. So now I think with Brett Brown, you know, the people lay off him a lot. I mean, you know, give him a break, and he's going to, you know, now's his time where he's got the players and he can mingle it. I think we're going to have a nice run here.
I agree with you. I'm poised for a big run. This is going to be a delightful NBA playoff season.
It's going to be awesome. It's not only that. Like, I'm 43 years old, and we're now going to hit the greatest run of Philadelphia sports history over the next 5 to 10 years. With all four teams.
Mm-hmm. As predicted, 4 years ago by moi, 2020 was going to be the year.
You got it.
All right, brother.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I seen you one time at Blue Bell. That's a good country club, too, man.
Yeah, it's very, you know, it's over there that a lot of guys are. Chris Wheeler, I think.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Wheeler, Merrill, and all that. I won the member one time, and Merrill Reese came up to me to shake my hand.
That's right, Merrill Reese is over there, too.
Oh, yeah, good for you!
Member you won, huh? Yeah, very nice. I'm stacking up, by the way. I got this opening day tournament. So an ex-St. Joe's student who was on the golf team texted me yesterday.
He wants to be on your squad.
He wants me to play with him.
Oh, that's nice.
He and his buddy. Both of them are like 2 handicaps.
Look at you.
So you got a buffer when you play with a 2.
So you're playing with 2 2s.
I don't know the other guy, but he's probably a good player if he plays with this guy.
Yeah. Look at
you. 2 youngins. And me and a buddy going to hook up with these 2 youngins.
Spring chickens.
We might be a threat to win the opening day tournament.
Now, do you feel good about yourself if they carry you?
Well,
Or do you have to have a moment?
Have to be really good. I mean, they have to shoot par, basically, because they're not getting any strokes. But I'm giving them strokes, you see.
Oh, yeah.
So I help them out, actually.
Now, look at that. So they're getting them with you.
Uh-huh.
What's the best ball?
So if they make 4, and I make a 4, I'm making a 4 for a 3. So we'll win the hole. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. Huh.
Or if they make a bogey, I make a bogey, my bogey turns into a par. If I'm getting some strokes.
That. Now,
that's the way that works.
That's pretty
the
good.
The handicap system.
I like that system. What's the maximum handicap? That's what
There are guys over there that are in the 30s.
Yeah.
See, if I was in the 30s, I don't know if I could play.
Well, why? How are you going to get...
Because you're out there for 7 hours if you're...
But don't you...
If you're getting 35 strokes...
No, that's true. You're shooting 100.
You're not very good.
But how do you start? See, that's my issue with the game.
I wouldn't join a club unless I was decent first. I wouldn't join it as a 35.
But how do you get decent?
You go to the range and start playing, or you're playing other courses and you know.
What's the course in the Northeast where you could go pay to play? Burnsies.
You gotta go
right up 95 to Burnsies.
You go to Munis. You test your game at Munis. And then, you get ready for the Tyrone Club.
I might set up my own golf course. Gotta get the land.
Tyrone Johnson, you have your locker. That'd be nice.
Yeah, I'll bring Nick Williams with me to play.
There you go.
That'd be great.
Club Tyrone.
Club Tyrone, yeah.
Tyrone will get entry into that club.
A whole new meeting.
Huh? Oh, that'd be nice.
610-632-0975. Mike Masnelli Show. It's 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia. Back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Time to get the Twitter poll going. Updating it. 3:30. Virginia's actually losing to Gardner-Webb. Come on, man. Stop it. Are you serious?
That's right.
Tyrone rooting against the Wahoos.
2 years in a row.
Virginia.
2 years in a row.
16-1. That can't happen.
Twice in a row. 2 years in a row.
Twitter poll update brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Natalie.
Over 1,300 votes on this one. Mike, what was the biggest thing that happened this week? 67% saying Sixers win streak, 14% going Harper's homers, 17% Phil Martelli firing, and a measly 2% say Fran Dunphy's last game.
Okay, there you go. Well,
what are you going to do?
What are you going to do is right. It's funny. When I talk about these old games, I go back in time and... Clemson, that team that Clemson beat LaSalle had Dale Davis and the other big dude. What was his name? It was actually a higher draft pick than Dale Davis. What was his name? They played for the Lakers. Eldon Campbell.
They had Eldon Campbell and Dale.
Eldon Campbell and Dale Davis.
You know what? That's in hindsight, that's not a bad loss. Yeah, it's hard to play.
And here's the thing. They beat LaSalle to go to the next round. And the next round was the Meadowlands. The first game, it was in Hartford until LaSalle lost to Clemson.
Okay.
And I don't know if you remember this. This is one of the most famous plays in college basketball history. UConn beat Clemson the next game. On a 94-foot pass underneath their own basket from Scott Burrell, who was a pitcher on the UConn baseball team, to Tate George, who was a guard, and he caught it in the corner, and he turned around and fired up a shot with 1 second left on the clock and made it.
Yeah,
to send UConn over Clemson.
I was there for that game.
I was right there where Burrell threw the pass.
But you were right. You weren't reporting on that one.
Yeah, I was reporting on that.
So that means you had to change your whole thing, right? Because you had your story.
It was in the day, so I had plenty of time to write it. I was just watching it.
Okay.
But I'm thinking there's no way this happens. But he threw it the length of the floor, a perfect pass to the corner of the other end of the court. Tate George, a guard, caught it, turned around and fired up a jump shot and made it to beat Clemson. And then the next game is when Duke beat them on the Leitner inbounds pass.
Look at that. Games don't, I feel like game, well, then again, we did have the Nova North Carolina where it was the Carolina 3 followed right by Nova getting one back, but you don't see these finishes as much as you used to.
No, you really don't.
But the Nova one against Carolina.
Remember the great finish was Valparaiso?
Yes.
With Bryce Drew?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, they caught the inbounds pass and they flipped it to him and he fired up like a 40-footer to win it.
Yep.
Those great calls, man. They were fantastic NCAA tournament calls. Let's go to Farouk in Jersey. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Farouk.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
What's going on, Farouk?
Everything good. So I just want to make one point about Brett Brown. I know he gets a lot of flack, and that's rightly so when we lose, mm-hmm. but he doesn't get the same amount of credit that we won when we win. Well, I think he did a very good job over the last 2 weeks, and I think the jury is still out. I think the realistic expectation is for this team to make it to the conference final. And
you're right. I believe that, and I believe that he's done a good job, especially in these last 3 games, managing minutes, knowing that the urgency of both those games in Milwaukee and Boston, having to play your starters a longer period of time. But I got to ask you the ultimate question, Farouk. If they don't get past the second round, how do you feel about them?
I think if they lose to Toronto in the 7th game, then I might bring him in the next year, but if they lose in game 5 in second round, then we need to get a new.
So you're allowing them to lose in the second round as long as it's in the 7th game.
Yeah, it's a tough game, last shot, because we won't have the home court advantage. But if I look at the matchups, I think we have a better matchup against Toronto because Valanciunas used to give Embiid trouble. But it's not the same team that played Toronto like the season. It's a brand new team.
You got Marc Gasol now.
How good is he against Embiid? I don't know.
He hasn't been playing a lot of minutes, so they play a little smaller. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I can agree with you today. If they lose the game 7, you know what's going to happen. People are going to blame the coach for not being strategic enough to win game 7.
I think we are going to win against Toronto. I think that's the second point I want to make before you cut me off is about Brad Stevens. Like, everyone has all the accolades for Brad Stevens as if he's the second coming of, I don't know, like Phil Jackson or Greg Popovich.
Uh-huh.
But look at him. Where's Boston? Boston has been the number 4 or 5 seed during the whole season with this amount of talent.
Yeah, they've had a hard time blending the new talent in there. And that's why they're bringing Jaylen Brown used to be a starter. Hayward used to be a starter. Bringing both of them off the bench now, because it seemed to be better chemistry the way they have Marcus Smart in there for defense.
Yeah. Now
pubic hair beard.
Yes, pubic beard. Him. Yeah. Yeah. Pubic goatee. Mm-hmm. Now, if they were to lose to Toronto, that would be just Colangelo digging in one more knife blow, because he would be the one, if they were to lose in that scenario.
Yeah.
Who drafted Korkmaz 1 pick before Siakam. Yeah. And then if they lose a game 7, Siakam would have a good game.
Right.
And he could have easily been here, because it's not like, he was a second round pick. He was literally the next pick after Colangelo took Korkmaz. So if they were to lose in that second round, it would just be Colangelo and the burner account digging into Sixers fans one more time. Fultz and everything else, and then this one. That one's just as fireable as Fultz. To go with Korkmaz over Siakam. Look how quickly he had developed.
I agree. This is just then. Gardner Webb's up 26-14. They've scored 26 points already with 8 minutes left in the first half of Virginia TO.
You know how long it's going to take Virginia to catch up?
26-14. Virginia only has 14 points on the board the first 12 minutes of the game.
What I tell you about that coach? Maybe they come back and win, but what I tell you about that coach? 22-point favorites. This coach is a fraud.
I'll give you Gardner Webb right now and 10.
No!
What? They're up 12.
Nah.
I'm giving you 22.
Nah. I don't.
Oh, man, that's a violation.
Talk to me at halftime. Take that back. At halftime, I'm going to take it back.
I'm not. It's a one-time only special. 8 minutes left in the first quarter. I'm giving you 10.
Yeah, I'll take it.
All right. Sandwich. Bob in Hanover. You're a 97.5 Fanatic. Bob.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, Bob?
Not much. Haven't talked to you in a while, but I just wanted to come at Tyrone there a little bit about golf, because I grew up in Kensington, and of course we didn't have any golf courses there, but I didn't pick up a golf club until I was halfway through my military career, and I was humiliated, embarrassed, and it's a game where he's got to go out and kind of pay his dues and work his way through the shots. Man,
no question about it. I didn't start playing until I was out, like, 25 years old. There was one thing that was never uttered in the Missinelli house by my father that on a Saturday morning. Hey, son, let's go out and play 18. That was never heard in Missinelli household.
But I don't want them to get discouraged, because you may go out and it's a game where it's a difficult game, but it's a game you might pick up right away. So you got to get out there and see what you got. So
yeah, that time it'll be all right. That's athletic enough to get the hang of a swing.
My Sixers comment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've been arguing with you for over a year now about Embiid sinking low in the paint.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of the way he shoots foul shots, he can dominate a game. And I think the Sixers are going to win the East. But if they face a fast-running team from the West, they're going to have to go into a half-court game, and they're going to have to slow it down to win. And I think Embiid sinking in the post, in the paint, and doing what he does is going to win it.
Well, how'd you like him against Boston, the way he bulldozed his way to the basket? You like that a little bit?
I loved all them foul shots.
Okay.
Because that's his game. Nobody can stop him.
Exactly. But again, the three-pointer is fine. He takes 5 threes a game. I'm okay with that. That opens up the floor, and he can make a couple of those. So I don't have a problem with him. 13 the other night, I had a problem with it. But they were ahead in the game, so it didn't hurt him as much. You know? That's the way it works. Andrew in Newtown will be next after the break. It is the Mike Missinelli Show. We're on radio and television, NBC Sports Philadelphia, 97.5 The Fanatic. And we're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic, all around the map today. Basically, it's a Friday. It's a wrap-up Friday. A lot of stuff happened this week, and a lot of people still have comments on it as we continue to follow the NCAA tournament with a big upset brewing. Number one seed down by, 12? 10? They're pecking away? Are you watching it in there?
Yeah, I turned it off.
Oh, okay. All right, let's get back to the phones. Andrew in Newtown, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Andrew.
Hey, Mike. Happy Friday.
What's going on, Andrew?
How much? First time golf, if you don't mind. Ty, don't let anybody discourage you. Get involved in the game as quickly as possible. It's going to teach you a lot about life, especially like gambling and cursing and all. No, really, if you respect the game and the rules and plays it wise, it really... join as quickly as you can. And don't worry about not being good. When I heard about the 30 handicaps, I kind of cringe. But as long as you play fast, it doesn't matter how bad you are. You'll get proficient. You're athletic. Anyway, that's it on golf. Mike, as far as your food topic, man, I had to weigh in. There's a lot of violations. But the thing is, food is not just sustenance. It's meant to be enjoyed. And there really are no wrongs, except when it hinders the enjoyment of other people, which brings me to my pet peeve.
Right.
Place settings, man. You ever sit at a table in a formal event, somebody doesn't know where their bread and butter or, their glass, their beverage glasses, on which side they are, and they inadvertently use yours, and that's an awkward domino effect?
Yeah, it is weird. Yeah, people don't, when people use your glass and they don't know it.
It is. And then, people who... Uh-huh. I love when people butter the whole roll and take bites out, but they've tucked the napkin in their shirt. It's, there's certain etiquette. They're just like on the golf course.
Yeah,
etiquette's another thing Todd needs to learn about the game, and he will, man. Anyway, Phil Martelli, Mike, you mentioned the alumni, and I heard you talking about Dana Pettit's article. Dana O'Neill,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Right.
Yes, Dana O'Neill.
And, you know, I thought about that. I didn't know how to respond because, you know, you think there's got to be a better way. But really, you know, we don't know what went on behind closed doors. I know the history of the AD. The guy was there for 40 years, and then this new woman came in from Notre Dame, I think.
Right.
But the bottom line is it was the alumni, you know. And I'm sure, you know, he saw the writing on the wall and, you know, heard the footsteps and things like that. I'm not sure if the ball was in his court or not, but really all it came down to the alumni from what I hear.
Well, yeah, they were disgruntled.
And I don't blame them.
It depends if you're misguided as an alum, thinking that you should be better than you are when you have to realize the limitations of your university when it comes to that.
Well, yeah, but it was a consensus, you know, and St. Joe's is not, you know, the most powerful entity in the community, but certainly there are some really big alums there, and, you know, they do hold a lot of, and, you know, from what I understand, I think Coach Martelli was really kind of depending on that support from the alumni.
Yeah.
It wasn't there.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Have a good weekend, Mike.
All right, man, you got it.
All right.
Let's get Dennis in New Jersey in here. Dennis, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. What's up, Dennis?
How you doing, Mike?
Good, man.
I got a question about the Philly schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear anything why they changed the Saturday games from 7:05 to 6:05 and 4:05?
No.
Yeah, we've only getting seven 7:05 games home and seven on the road.
Yeah, I did not.
And also, the 30th is opening night.
Yeah.
And it's 4:05 game.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything about it. I'm sorry, I can't add anything to it.
I was looking at the Phillies count. I'm like, why are somebody 6:05 games and 4:05 games?
Yeah.
Also, they've moved the Sunday game to ESPN Sunday night game.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Oh, one more thing. I was watching this show on Channel 6 called Localish, and this girl comes on. I was like, man, I recognize her. Here was Natalie doing something about beer. Did you see that segment?
Really, Natalie? You were doing a beer thing?
Yeah, I did a piece for, it's called Localish, and it airs on 6ABC.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it aired when we were in Clearwater, so I didn't even really get to talk about it. But
oh, I got you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Make you some side money.
Yes.
That's good work. All right. There you go. Bob in New Jersey. Bob, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Bob?
Hi, how you doing, man?
Good, man. How you doing?
Not too bad. Just I'm in a nursing home, and I was listening to you on TV, so I wanted to call in.
Cool.
I wanted to get your opinion about what do you think the Eagles are going to do at running back. Personally, I think they're going to draft one, but I want them to get Josh Howard in a trade somehow.
Yeah, I think they may be still working on something like that.
You think so?
Yep.
And one other thing. Go Sixers, man. They're doing so good right now. I think they're on a roll.
Yes.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, buddy. All right, there you go. A couple quick calls in and out. Let's go to Vicente in Lansdowne. This won't be a quick call. Vicente, what's up?
Hola, amigo, Mike.
Hola, amigo, Vicente.
Hey, I wanted to say kudos to Natalie. She should be the number one queen of fashion. Yesterday, I was watching on TV. She was wearing a leopard print. I don't know whether it's a top, or just a jumpsuit.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
A jumpsuit? Were you wearing a jumpsuit yesterday?
It was just a shirt.
It was that day.
You were fantastically gorgeous, and you bring up everything that the TV show should be showing, you know?
Well, there you go.
Correct. Eric Johnson will be promoting you to the top level.
Beautiful. So,
I got a couple of points.
Go ahead.
First of all, I'm very excited that our champion, Vinny Curry, is bringing back to the defense, all right?
Uh-huh.
Because now that we lost Michael Bennett, you know.
Right.
It's unneeded.
I hope he's still any good. I mean, I don't know how good he is at this point.
He's only 30 years old.
Yeah, I know, but he didn't really have a great year last year, so.
Well, you know, anyway, it's only $2.25 million. What is?
Yeah, that's not cheap.
All right. Now, the second one.
That's cheap debt. Yes.
About the NCAA champion. I was really frustrated about Jay Wright and the Villanova because I was thinking, you know, in the first half, they were losing by 2 points, but ultimately they won, you know, by 4 points.
Right.
However, my team that you assigned to me, number four, Kansas, the Jayhawks, they destroyed Northwestern by 37 points, something.
Yeah.
So I'm marching on, you know, towards the bracket.
Beautiful.
What do you think about Villanova against Purdue?
I like Villanova to win that game.
I hope so.
Villanova's got good experience. I think they know how to play in a tournament. I think they're fine.
You should ask this question to our friend B. Westbrook from Villanova.
I will.
All right. Have a lovely weekend. Enjoy the Friday.
All right, buddy. Oh, you got it. Vicente, spreading a little love here on a Friday. Yeah, but what's the weather going to be like tomorrow? Is it going to be
windy?
Is it going to be windy?
Yes.
Yeah, is it raining right now?
I think it's done, but
it's windy. Supposed to rain again at around 5.
Oh, man.
So, and then tomorrow's going to be windy, 52 and windy.
But windy?
Mm-hmm.
Sunday's your better day if you're golfing.
Well, I'm supposed to play both days.
Well, tomorrow you're going to have to...
Do you do this, Mike? Mm-hmm. What they do, like they say they do on the golf course?
They lick the finger and do the... That was gross.
Do you feel for the wind?
You have to do it for real.
And I throw grass in the air.
Oh, and then see where it goes? You don't do the finger thing?
No.
Because it's gross.
Do people do that or is it a joke?
You throw a little grass in the air.
Oh, okay.
See where it blows.
Oh.
Because it's gross in that, that's why.
I always thought it was funny.
Gross.
Who does this? What good is that?
You lick your finger and then put your finger up and see which way the wind blows.
Is it better to throw something in the air and see where it blows?
Yes.
I suppose. I mean, either one would work because you could feel the cold on your finger depending on which way the air is blowing.
Okay. All right.
Maybe you could try that. Maybe you could try that tomorrow.
All right. Maybe I will. 610-632-0975. That's how you climb into the Mike Misnelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.